Tomorrow, the 19th of March, is World Sleep Day. And I don't know if I'm the only one that is so super excited by World Sleep Day, but sleep is such an important thing that I feel like we often overlook. And I'm really excited for this episode, which is why I'm recording it on Thursday instead of Friday like I normally would. But this episode is all about sleep. So let's dive in. Yes, so welcome back. This is episode 35, I think, and I'm so excited about this episode. Like I said in the introduction, it's World Sleep Day tomorrow, and I haven't seen many promotions about World Sleep Day, but honestly, I think that it is such an important message that they're trying to get out there. And I think it's something that we all do need to consider. So this episode might sound a little bit different because it is so factual based. When I have lots of facts and things that I want to share with you, I actually will type or write an episode up. And when it's things that, like, I do know a lot about sleep, so I'll say that from the outset. I have studied a lot of things to do with sleep because I have struggled with sleep at various times throughout my life. And also things, so my yoga teaching course, for example, there was a lot about sleep. And when I see my allied health professionals, like my chiropractor, we also had discussed a lot of things about sleep in our bodies too. So I have had a bit of a background there. But because I am wanting to bring you the facts and things about sleep, I did write this down. So it might sound a little bit different to what my episodes sometimes sound like. And this is a deviation of reading. So if you have joined me for the past few weeks, you will see that I have had a really big focus on reading. And I have said it in my other episodes, but the reason for this is because I'm currently doing additional study on reading and how to teach our kids reading. As a high school teacher, it is something that was not in my uni degree, and there is now research suggesting that it is also not in primary uni degrees either, which is being switched around slightly. Fingers crossed that it switches faster than is currently happening, because Australia is very far behind in reading and teaching reading specifics to kids. But this episode is all about sleep. So I will do some more reading and things on reading and some ideas for you to use with reading for our kids in further episodes. But sleep. So I am so excited that tomorrow is World Sleep Day. I feel like maybe we should convince our kids to sleep all day as a celebration. Wouldn't that be nice? But in all seriousness, World Sleep Day is so important because I find that a lot of the times we forget how important sleep is and sleep quality is. Now, not just our own sleep, but the sleep of our kids. Now, you know, our bodies during the night do so many things for us that we don't actually realize, and that they do things at different times of the night. And there is a lot of research from Chinese medicine on this, and I'll share a little bit about it with you a bit later. But basically, it allows our bodies to function properly. It allows our bodies to, you know, rejuvenate, detox, and then helps us to function optimally the next day. Now, I have seen kids fall asleep in class. I have seen kids come to tutoring that look so tired that they just need to go to bed because, honestly, they can't concentrate. And you know you can't concentrate if you're really tired as well. Now, this year's slogan is regular sleep, healthy future. Now, for some reason, you know, I find there's so many different sayings and things that seem to come up a lot around sleep. And there seems to be so many things like, oh, I have no time to sleep, or I'll sleep when I'm dead, which is a horrible saying. But, you know, if you don't actually sleep well and get quality sleep, then you are going to suffer. So emotionally, Your emotions will be all over the place, so there won't be mood stability. You might binge on more junk foods or sugars to try and get that energy, so then your diet isn't healthy for you either. Concentration, you know, we need to concentrate when we're driving and on the road and when we're at work and we're making decisions and decision making, and all of those things are optimized when we actually receive quality sleep. Now, it puts additional pressure on our organs as well. So we might end up dying due to an error of judgment because we're tired or we're really overtired, or perhaps our organs are not receiving the time to actually reset properly. Now, you know, I know with motherhood, or, you know, the early stages of having young children, that sometimes sleep is not possible, and that's why there are so many warnings out there for mothers to sleep when children are sleeping or when the baby is sleeping, because sleep deprivation can do a whole range of different things. It can heighten things like postnatal depression and things like that as well for both females and males. I remember a lady that I knew teaching, and she booked in to do sleep study stuff with her child who wouldn't sleep, and her concern, like, she taught in the school, but her concern was her husband, who was, you know, doing a practical job. Now, he was so tired that she was worried he would make errors in judgment in his work and injure himself, or, you know, seriously injure himself at his job as a, you know, as a response to that. So it's important for all of us to get sleep. And I find sometimes, like my husband in particular, he is one person that I hear a lot, like, I'll sleep when I'm dead, or he'll make comments that I'm always sleep, or I sleep too much, or, you know, you have to get up early or you don't get things done. And he's got that kind of mentality, which isn't a terrible thing, but at the same time, like, I have realized over time how important sleep is for me. And I know that if I don't get enough sleep, I'm really cranky in the morning, like super, super cranky. And then if I struggle to get to sleep, I get angry about not being asleep, then I get anxious and I'll get stressed, and then those things will snowball into my day as well. And, you know, honestly, I do find my husband having naps on the couch during the day. So he's obviously tired. But let's jump into a bit more about sleep. Now, if you are looking for some resources, the sleepfoundation.org has great resources around sleep, and sleephealthfoundation.org.au also have resources. They have specific resources for teachers, parents and children about sleep. I have a list of kids' books. I've only got four, but there is a whole list on that website about great books to read for sleep with kids, so that we can really start making a difference in all of our lives when we get better sleep. So like I said, sleep is such an essential function. It helps our body to recharge. It helps our minds to recharge. We make such an unbelievable amount of decisions every day. And I was chatting about this to my admin yesterday. And I said, you know, there's so many things that we do that we don't actually realize is our mind making decisions, and we're making constant decisions. And I think in the last week I've heard our minds make somewhere like 6,000 decisions a day. Now, when you think about it, you're like, oh my goodness, no way. My mind does not make that many decisions. But when you think about it, it's totally possible. So, you know, our mind makes the decision as to when we get up, how we get up, what do we do when we get up? Do I have a drink of water? Do I have a cup of coffee? Do I have breakfast? How do I get the children out of bed? What do I wear today? What will the kids wear? Do I give the kids choice? Like, all of these, and that could be in the first 2 minutes that you wake up. Now, quality sleep obviously helps us feel so refreshed and alert when we wake up. And it also starves off disease. There are so many studies out there that are currently showing the link between lack of sleep and the occurrence of specific diseases or illnesses. And when you think about it, the last time you were unwell, either with a stomach bug or a cold or another illness, you felt better when you had a bit more sleep, right? So that tells us that We need the sleep for our body to heal itself, and our brains need sleep so that we can function properly, because we can't function properly, we struggle to make decisions and think clearly, as well as process memories as well, when we have limited sleep. As I mentioned before, as a teacher, I saw so many students come to school tired. And like I said, I still see students come into tutoring tired as well. And you know what? The capacity to learn just is not there, because they're struggling to keep their eyes open for one. But they also struggle with processing information. So not only are they trying to stay awake, but they're trying to process information and the new information that you're giving them, and then they're trying to match that new information up with existing information. Then they're trying to move that from their short-term memory to their long-term memory and then retain that information at the same time. Now, if you're tired, and we do these things automatically, a lot of the time we don't need to think about these things and how we go about it, but if you're tired, then that capacity to learn, that capacity to put together the building blocks for something and to understand, to match it up with a previous preconceived notion that you might have, and then put all of that together into different circumstances and different situations, is hard to do when you're tired. Now, that is one of the main reasons why, and you'll hear around HSC time and exam time, I shout from the rooftops basically that you should be going to bed. HSC students should be going to bed and having a good night's sleep rather than staying up and trying to cram for exams until ridiculous hours of the morning, because you need the sleep so that you're sharp for the next day. You'll hear me say this over and over again. Now, as adults, we need 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And like I said, I know as a mother, sometimes this is not possible. It's not even close to being possible, but we always can do things to work at it. But children and teenagers need more sleep than that. There are lots of charts out there that show you how much sleep your child will need at particular age groups, particularly our younger kiddos. Now, there are so many things that can mean that we struggle to sleep well. So even things like diet, exercise schedules, disruptive bedroom environments, medical conditions, all of those can mean that we will struggle to get quality sleep and we'll have disruptive sleep. But there are stacks of research on sleep as well. So the things that you need to know is that through our internal body clock, it is the thing that regulates our sleep cycle the most. So it helps us to feel tired and get ready for bed, or it helps us to feel refreshed and ready for the day as well. Now, the light that we are exposed to helps us maintain our sleep cycle, and the melatonin that's produced and released as natural light disappears at night helps us become drowsy to be able to sleep. Our bodies are also conditioned to wake up when we release cortisol that promotes energy and alertness as the sun rises. Now, obviously, with the use of technology, with our phones, with our computers, with our televisions, all of this is producing blue light, which keeps our bodies more awake. So if you think about your child, for example, who might be playing video games before bed, their eyes might be drooping down to the ground, but they're still awake and they're still alert and they still need to do it, because they're sitting so close to the TV that the light off the TV is keeping them awake, as well as adrenaline and things like that. But we need to start changing these patterns so that our kids can get more sleep and ourselves as adults can get more sleep. You know, we are so conditioned at the moment to lying in bed and flicking through socials, for example, and I do it. I'm not going to say I'm a saint and I don't do it. I do it, and I know that I shouldn't be doing it. But, you know, I know how important it is for me to get the right amount of sleep as well. You know, the best bit is that our bodies do a lot of these things for us. Like, our bodies produce melatonin automatically. unless you struggle with that production. And I know kids with ADHD sometimes need to take melatonin to help them relax and go to sleep at nighttime. And there are obviously other medical conditions as well. But our bodies do these things automatically for us, but we just need to help it a bit. We just need to make sure that we are giving our bodies the opportunities to do these things right. Now, our bodies, when we're asleep, go through different cycles throughout the night between light and deeper sleep, or REM cycles. Now, again, I have done a bit of research on REM cycles. I'm not an expert. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I own a tutoring center. But I do know that REM cycles or REM cycles are really important in the way that our bodies detox and the cycles that go through at different times of the night. Now, if you are interrupted during a deep REM cycle, for example, and you are woken up from that, then there are repercussions for that. Now, our cycles are also matched to organs and rejuvenation with organs as well. And Chinese medicine provides clues as to what organs are actually optimized at what time of the day. So it's not just nighttime, but it's also during the day as well. But it's really interesting because Chinese medicine, Chinese medicine connects these REM cycles with what organs our bodies are, you know, working at to function better during the day, with emotional aspects as well. So during our sleep cycle, our gallbladder, liver, and lungs are detoxified and cleansed. Now, I find this information fascinating. I know there's a lot of people that might not believe this information, but personally I find it fascinating. So during 11 p.m. and 1 a.m, our gallbladder is the organ that is, you know, being detoxified and cleansed. Now, in Chinese medicine, that is also connected to decision making, and it's suggested that if you're struggling to get to sleep at that time of the night, so if you're wide awake at 11 p.m. to 1 a.m, it could be because you are stuck in making a decision. You haven't made a decision, you need to make a decision. And so that's really fascinating. 1 a.m. till 3 a.m. is our liver, which is when our liver detoxifies properly, and when our liver processes our emotions. And 3 a.m. till 5 a.m. is our lungs. Now, our lungs connect to the emotions of grief and sadness in particular. So if you're waking up at those times and you're not normally needing to, then those could be some clues about what's going on. So it might be useful to examine emotionally what you're feeling and see if you can unblock this feeling. And you could also use that with your kids as well. So if your child is waking up around 2 a.m, perhaps there's some emotions there that they need to process so that they can achieve that deeper sleep. Now, that's not a new exploration for myself. I learned a lot of this information when I completed my yoga teaching course. And like I said, some of you might not believe it, but it is definitely something to consider and something for you to think about if you are waking up at these particular times of night as well. So how can we help our sleep? And how can we make sure that we're optimizing our sleep that we should be getting? So I use sleep aids. You know, there's nothing wrong with using things to help you get to sleep and stay asleep. And if you really struggle to get to sleep or really struggle to stay asleep, then it's something that you definitely should consider as well. Now, the newest thing that I've seen come up lately, and I really do want to purchase one, is that there are lots of companies, and I know Philips has produced one, that have created alarm clocks that provide a more natural way of waking up. So rather than your alarm clock screaming at you, the alarm clock acts like a sunrise and a sunset by waking you up slowly with more natural light. So at night time, it's like the sun is setting, which then puts your body to sleep. And then during the daytime, the light's gradually gets brighter over a period of time to help you relax in a more, help you awake in a more relaxed way instead of startle awake, you know, that we might normally do when our alarm clock goes off. And I really do want to get one of these to give a go, because I find that although my phone alarm, I guess, works, I would prefer not to have my phone in my bedroom with me. And I'd prefer not to be startled awake. and I really do think that having the opportunity to wake up more naturally would be, you know, a better way in which to do this, and at least trial to see how it goes. Other things that you might consider as well, and there's a huge list, you've got to pick and choose things and give things a go at the end of the day. So establishing a realistic bedtime is a great way to start. Getting your phone out of the room, getting your kids' phones out of their rooms, getting kids' computers, iPads out of their rooms, anything that stops sleep. Creating structure around not looking at socials at bedtime, or putting like our phones in locked boxes and those types of things, means that computers, iPads, TVs, phones, they all keep us awake, like I said, with the blue light, and they're all fighting for our attention to keep us awake as well. Making sure that your room is for sleep and not for work, and that it's comfortable, is also helpful. And turning off any overhead lights and dimming lights at night time can also help your melatonin production as well. Not drinking alcohol, caffeine, large meals in the hours leading up to bedtime. Alcohol for parents, obviously. And exercising during the day also helps you sleep better at night time, but it also helps you produce more energy during the day too. Other things that you might find work are things like calming yoga sequences and meditations to help your mind settle and calm down after a day. Perhaps journaling. If there's a lot of things on your mind that you need to get off your mind, that could be a fantastic way to do that as well. And separating your work time from your rest and relaxation, rejuvenation time too. Now, if you do need sleep aids, there's a few products that you can try that are more naturally based that you might like to give a go. I've tried all of these. They all work for me. I know that they don't work for everybody, but you've got to pick and choose things that you think might possibly work. So magnesium spray. I really like Bare Body Beauties magnesium spray. If you don't know who they are, they're a local company down here in the Southern Highlands. But that really helps me calm down to sleep. I put a few sprays on my feet when I can't relax, and that does help me relax. Meditations at bedtime work wonders for myself as well. And doTERRA lavender peace blend, I used to put it on my feet, but you can also put it in a diffuser, works really well for calming you down. I've also tried things like sleep tea from T2. I absolutely love it. And Naked Harvest Choc Moon Milk I actually have at home too. And that also works wonders if I'm really pent up and I just need to calm down. And Moon Milk has magnesium in it as well. There are lots of studies at the moment about magnesium and lack of magnesium being a cause of sleep deprivation too. Otherwise, just finding some peace, finding some things that are peaceful away from everything will help. Now, obviously, these things will help not just parents or adults. They can help kids too. You know, you might pop a few drops of the lavender peace oil into a roller bottle with an oil blend in there to help your children settle. You might try some kids meditations. There's a lot of kids meditations available at the moment as well. I've got a few on my phone. There are some really good kids apps too that have stories and things on them. ABC Listen, they have routines, so they have like story time, I think is until 7 o'clock at night. But then they have like lullabies and things that not just help little kids get to sleep, but also can help big kids, like the classical relaxing music. I'll actually pop it on my TV before I go to sleep and put a timer on that as well. Moshi is a kids app. Oop, Sorry, I just started it. but they have some kids-focused meditations and relaxation tracks as well. But there is a whole stack out there. Sometimes it can feel like you're prodding a stick in the dark corners to find what will work for you and your kids. But it's definitely something that obviously we are still struggling with and something that we may always struggle with. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. There are a few tips there for you to consider and a few things for you to think about. Like I said, I was super excited that it is World Sleep Day, because I do think that our sleep and making sure we sleep well and our kids sleep well is so super important. Like always, if you have questions, pop me an email, info@breakawaytuition.com.au. Otherwise, I'll catch you guys next week. Have a good week.